Challenge, try that one as well. James chapter 1, I want to read for us this morning. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will began he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. This morning I want us to focus particularly on verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Let's pray and then we'll come back to the word of God. Father, we ask that you would bless our time in your word now. Lord, help us to take heed, Lord, not just to hear what or how, but Lord, then to be doers of what you speak to us about this morning. And Father, we just give you the praise and thanks in anticipation, Lord, of you blessing us. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen. All right, beware of self-deception. Verse 22 speaks of that, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving yourselves. There are a number of scriptures that talk about believers deceiving themselves. We need to be careful and to be mindful. I want to look at two or three of those and then we'll come back to James. But first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul warns the believers there to be careful about deception. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. God says, be careful. Don't deceive yourself. Let no man deceive himself. And it's in the context of being the temple of God and defiling that temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And again, we're warned about deceiving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We could spend a whole lot of time on that verse. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You need to be careful who you spend time with and those kind of things. Be not deceived. 1 John 1:8. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You say, well, I don't have any sin in my life. Well, you've deceived yourself. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And so there are a number of verses that talk to us and remind us that we need to be careful, beware of self-deception. Now, there are other verses that talk about being deceived by others. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 24, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. We need to be careful that other men don't deceive us. We need to be careful that the devil doesn't deceive us. We need to be careful that the world doesn't deceive us. We need to be careful about those things. But this morning, we want to look particularly about being careful about deceiving ourselves. The Lord Jesus warned about how we hear the word of God. He warned about what we hear. He spoke about those who heard but didn't hear, didn't respond, didn't do what he wanted them to do. But in verse 22 of James, I read it again for us, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now the word be, but be ye doers. The idea of the word be continually doing the word of God. Be continually doing it, not just here and there as it suits or as it seems to fit into our program, but the idea is be continually doing the word of God. And the idea, of course, is to be continually obedient to the word of God. The things that God shows us from his word, he wants us to be obedient. And it's more than just, when he says doers of the word, they are doing the word of God, but it's more what they are. They are doers of the word. Now, they're being obedient to the word of God, so there's an action there, but it's almost like a name that's given to them. These people are doers of the word. That's what they are. They're doers of the word. And so James says, continually be called doers of the word. Be obedient to the word of God. And one of the difficulties you and I have is being honest with ourselves. Being honest with ourselves before God. Very easily we can deceive ourselves. If we're not doers of the word, then we already have deceived ourselves. And so easily we can deceive ourselves. It's interesting how we can excuse things in our lives that be very hard on other people about what they're doing in their lives, the very same things. We deceive ourselves that we're okay. It's these other people that aren't. So this morning I want us to look at some excuses that we make for our disobedience, which show that we are deceiving ourselves. If we're not doers of the word, if we're not called doers of the word, if we're not continually doers, then we have deceived ourselves. But I want to just raise some issues that over the years, having been a pastor now for a few years, then I've heard quite a few excuses over the years, and I've read a few other excuses, and I've thought of some of my own. So I can get quite a list up of areas whereby we deceive ourselves. The first one, and these aren't necessarily in order of importance, because at any one point, any one of these could be important for each of us, But these are some that happen over the years. The first one I want to say is this. People excuse their disobedience to the word of God by saying, well, Pastor, I don't agree with that interpretation. Well, that's a good way to cop out of what God's asking you to do. Well, I don't agree with that interpretation. Well, you tell me what the interpretation is. Well, I think that that verse says this, and I think that that verse says that. You know, we've got a lot of people around today who are doing things which are not biblical, and they do it on the basis of saying, well, I don't agree with your interpretation. And you've got women preachers today, and they would say, I don't agree with your interpretation of the scriptures, but the Bible says that the women are to be silent, and they're not to usurp authority over men in the church. They're not to teach or preach the word of God in a public congregation. They're not to do that. But they would say, well, we'll do that. We don't agree with your interpretation. Well, they are deceived. They have deceived themselves. We could give, I guess, many illustrations of that. But people say, I don't agree with your interpretation. Well, you better have a good reason for that. Then other people will say, Pastor, and they're not obeying the word of God. They're not being continually obedient. They're not doers of the word. They say, Pastor, you just don't understand my situation. So what? So what? What's that got to do with anything? Who does understand everything about everyone else other than God? You just don't understand. Well, so what? Don't deceive yourself. Don't be disobedient to the word of God because you use the excuse, well, you don't understand my circumstances. Of course I don't understand all your circumstances, nor does anybody else. But don't use that as an excuse. Don't deceive yourself. You know, so many times you hear people say, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. Well, I'm glad I don't understand a lot of things. I don't have to understand a lot of things. But be careful about deceiving yourselves by using that as an excuse to disobey the word of God. Now, here's another one that comes up. People will say, well, you know, the Christian life is just too hard. That's the excuse for disobeying the word of God. They said the Christian life is just too hard. And you know what they're doing? They are blaming God for their disobedience. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. God says he will meet all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Any need we have, we need only to ask our Heavenly Father, and he will give it liberally, as we read even of wisdom in James chapter 1. Well, I just lack wisdom. That's why I'm not obedient. Well, it's too hard. No, you're blaming God for your disobedience. And you've deceived yourself into thinking, I'm okay because it's too hard. And that's God's fault. No, that you have deceived yourselves and you have made an excuse for your disobedience. Others would come up with something like this. God speaks to them about something through the preaching of the word of God, or when they're speaking with another believer, or in their quiet time when they're reading their Bible, and God speaks to them about something. And he highlights something in their life that he wants them to do, and their response is this. When I get time, I'm going to do that. When I get some time, I'm going to do it. But they're not being obedient. They're not being doers of the word, and they have deceived themselves. Well, just when I get time. That just shows that we're either lazy or we're undisciplined or something. But it's an excuse to justify my disobedience. God says you need to be not just hearers, but doers of the word as well. Be careful you don't justify your disobedience or when I get time. It's like memorizing scripture. As I said, memorize the book of James. And some of you had said, yeah, if I had more time, I would. So how do you know that? Because I know that's how we respond. You know, if I just had more time, that's an excuse for disobedience. You say, where does it command you? if we had time and took time, I could show you some verses. I believe that God says you must meditate day and night in my word. He said to the kings of Israel, he said, you need to write a copy of the word of God, and you need to memorize it and meditate upon it and hide it in your heart. You say, well, that's an option, isn't it? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, if you want to be a self-deceived person, then it's an option. If you want to be a doer of the word, then you'll begin to memorize the word of God. Or when I get time. No, we've all got 24 hours in a day. How come that Brother James Hood can memorize many books of the Bible and you and I can't memorize a verse? You say, well, he's got more hours in the day. No, he hasn't. He's got 24, same as you and I. But we have deceived ourselves into thinking, well, I just haven't got time. I haven't got time. We've always got time, all of us, for what God wants us to do. God hasn't said certain things to us. Here's what I want you to do, thus and such. But by the way, it's going to take you 36 hours in a day, and I'm sorry you haven't got that many. No, that's not how God has designed it. God says, I've given you 24 hours a day, and if you will seek to know and to do my will, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, let me tell you, you'll have plenty of time in the day. It may be busy, it may feel pressured at times, but you'll have enough time to do what God wants you to do. You know, I write out lists, I've said this before, little pieces of paper. I get an A4 and I can get about 8 pieces out of that, about this size. And I write each day, I'm writing little notes. Need to do this, need to do this, need to catch some fish, need to do that. And all those kind of things. But I don't get frustrated if I don't complete the list. I just put it to one side, and every now and then I go to my desk and I get all the little bits of paper out, and they've got bits crossed here, bits, and all the things I haven't done yet. And then I just rewrite it all in a list, and then I say, okay, Lord, you just show me what I've got to do, and away I go. I don't get frustrated, I don't get everything done. Why? Because I'll never get everything done that I want to do or I think I need to do. But God's given us enough time to do what he wants us to do. Amen? So don't come up with this excuse. Well, when I get time, I'll do what God tells me to do. And it may not be just memorizing scripture. It might be something else that God is speaking to you about or has spoken to you about. And because you haven't been a doer, you're sitting there spinning your wheels and saying, how come God seems a long way off? How come God's not answering my prayer? Well, you better realize that you've made an excuse. When I get time, and God says, until you deal with that issue, we're not moving any further. You've deceived yourself. Be careful of that. You know, another way we deceive ourselves, we kind of tackle it this way. We say, well, it's not that bad. I mean, what I'm doing is not that bad. Yeah, but is it what God wants you to do? But it's not that bad. God hasn't really convicted me about it. Well, where in the Bible does it say, do you need this heavy burden of conviction where you feel you're just about going to crumble into a heap before you obey the word of God? You don't have to have any feelings to obey the word of God when God speaks. You don't have to feel like you want to obey. You don't have to feel like I must obey. You know, you ought to have that attitude. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful. It's not that bad. Any disobedience is bad. Any disobedience is bad. It's self-deception and leads to other problems. And so it's not that bad. God hasn't convicted me. Well, you don't have to get a great heavy feeling and burden of conviction. Just do what God tells you to do. Amen. And then we get others will say, well, other people do it. Other people do it. Pastor, what are you talking about? You're telling me thus and such, but other people do it. Well, who cares? Comparing yourselves with yourselves. Paul said, you're not wise. We need to be careful because we can deceive ourselves and excuse our disobedience because we say, well, other people do it. It doesn't matter a hoot what other people do in one sense. What has God spoken to me about? If God has spoken to me about it, then it doesn't matter whether the rest of the world's not doing it. I better do it. Otherwise, I've deceived myself. And I guess that's one of the things that frustrates me as much as anything as a pastor. When people tell me they do certain things or don't do certain things, lies because other people do it or don't do it. That is a huge frustration. You say, what can I pray about for you, pastor? Pray that I don't get frustrated about that. And it doesn't get me down, it does, in that sense. But it concerns me. Maybe frustration is not a good word. It concerns me when people use the excuse other people do it to excuse their own disobedience. And they're self-deceived and think, well, that's okay, other people do it. That's not okay if other people do it. What has God spoken to us about? We need to do that. Others would say this. Well, I know what God's saying, and I know what God says the results could be, but I'm sure that wouldn't happen to me. I'm sure that wouldn't be that wouldn't be me. Well, see what Galatians 6 says, passage we know well, Galatians chapter 6. And I didn't read this verse earlier on deliberately because I wanted to get to it now. Verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he what? Deceiveth himself. He deceiveth himself. He goes on and says in verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, it wouldn't happen to me. It will happen to you. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? What does it say? Corruption. But it wouldn't happen to me. I mean, I'll get around to it. I'll do it, you know. If God would just make it a little clearer for me, no, God's already made it clear. God's already made it clear. Well, it wouldn't happen to me. Be not deceived. It will. Be not deceived. Those who are not doers of the word reap corruption. Be not deceived. That is what happens. Well, it's just a little bit of disobedience. It will reap corruption. Very simple. Now, another thing is this. People will say to me, Pastor, I believe God understands. I believe God understands. Well, he does. That's true. God does understand. And that's why he says, please be obedient to me. Well, I don't feel. Again, too many times we run on feelings. We do live by faith, not by feelings. And you say, well, God understands. You know, I would do it or I will do it. And God understands. No, God says that is disobedience. You have deceived yourself. You're not a doer. You have deceived yourself. God, yes, does understand. That's true. He understands that you've deceived yourself. He understands that that's going to lead to corruption. He understands a lot of things about it. He understands that you better get obedient. Do what God tells you to do. Now, I've even heard this sort of thing. Someone's faced with an issue in their life. And they don't believe that it's right to do it, but they'll say this. Well, I'm just going to do it, and then I'll ask God to forgive me. Ever heard anybody say something foolish like that? I mean, talk about being self-deceived. I'll just do it. I don't really believe it's right, but then I'll ask God to forgive me. They're kind of like, sure, that makes a lot of sense. I know this is not what God wants me to do. I'm just going to do it, and I'll say, God, please forgive me. I mean, you can think about all sorts of different scenarios and how foolish is that? Well, I know God doesn't want me to steal that money, but I'll do it and then I'll ask God to forgive me because I need the money. Oh. And it just goes on and on and on. I'll do it and then ask God for forgiveness. Or we'll get others like King Saul from the Old Testament who said, well, I've obeyed God. Have a look again at 1 Samuel 15. So again, we've looked at it over the years and it's a very valuable lesson. 1 Samuel 15. God had given King Saul through the prophet Samuel some very clear instructions. He said, I want you to go and destroy all the Amalekites and all that they have. I want you to destroy them. And so Samuel comes along now after the event, and in verse 20 of 1 Samuel 15, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. So how good is that? He's done just what God wanted him to do. You ask him, have you done what God wants you to do, Saul? Yes, I've obeyed. Saul says, I'm not just a hearer of the word. Let me tell you, I'm a doer of the word. That's me. I'm a doer of the word, and I have done that which the Lord, I've gone in the way which the Lord sent me. I've done it. Don't you worry about that. He said, I brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil. Oops, there were some other things that happened there that wasn't really my fault. Ever heard that? It's not my fault. It's another excuse we make. Well, it wasn't my fault. It was the people. Verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You brought all these animals to sacrifice, Saul, and that's very good, but is the Lord more pleased with that, or is he more pleased with obedience? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Well, Saul says, well, I did most of what God wanted me to do. And he's deceived himself to think that's okay. At least I've done most of it. I mean, what more does God want? God wants you to be obedient in all things. In everything that God's given you light about. And what's the end result of that? Notice what he says. This little bit of disobedience, God called it rebellion and stubbornness, is as iniquity and idolatry. What did Galatians say? If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. Did that happen in Saul's life? Read the rest of verse 23. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. Oh, but he didn't totally reject it. He did most of it. He rejected it. If you don't obey all the light God's given you, then you have rejected it. He hath also rejected thee from being king. It brought what? Corruption. Have a look in Proverbs 13. It's a verse I've been thinking a little bit about. Proverbs 13 and verse 13. Very applicable to King Saul. He wasn't a doer of the word. Proverbs 13:13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be what? Destroyed. And somehow we deceive ourselves into thinking that won't happen to me. We've deceived ourselves. Whoso despiseth the word, King Saul shall be destroyed, King Saul. Have you got it? He didn't get it. Why? He deceived himself. He deceived himself. He thought that his partial obedience was going to be okay. And God said, no, it's not okay. It's rebellion, it's stubbornness, it's iniquity and idolatry. I'm taking the kingdom away. And finally we find Saul landing on his own sword. What happens? Well, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But somehow we think, no, it's not going to happen to me. And God is a loving God. God is a forgiving God. It'll be all okay. Here's another one that people say. I asked God to take it away. Just that he hasn't done it yet. Oh, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I ask God to take it away. But in the meantime, I'm still doing it. I've asked God to take it away. I have a problem with lying. And I've asked God to take it away. I've got a problem with smoking. And I've asked God to take it away. I've got a problem with pornography. And I've asked God to take it away. I've got a problem with lusting. I've asked God to take it away. I've got a problem with whatever. I've asked God to take it away. In the meantime, I keep doing it. You The interesting thing about all those things is, and notice what people say, I've got a problem. Well, let's call it what it is. You've got a sin that you haven't forsaken yet. Oh, yes, but I've asked God to take it away. So you're saying God's the author of your sin. That's the only conclusion you can come to. If I've got a sin in my life, which I'm continuing in, and I'm not being obedient, I'm not putting off the old man, I'm not being renewed in the spirit of my mind, I'm not putting on the new man, I'm not repenting, I'm not bringing forth fruit under repentance, I'm not doing any of that, but I say, well, I've asked God to take it away. And we've deceived ourselves. And we've justified our sin. I ask God to take it away is no excuse for sin. So why doesn't God take it away? Have a guess. Have a guess. Because, he says, the responsibility lies with you. The responsibility lies with us. We're to walk in the Spirit. Walk in obedience to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and we shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. God doesn't say, I'll walk you in the Spirit. He says to us, walk in the Spirit, walk in obedience to the Word of God. You know, well, I just asked God to take it away. Now, you stop blaming God, you stop making excuses, stop deceiving yourself, and start being obedient to the Word of God, and you'll be surprised how quickly some of those things drop off. It's amazing. Amazing, but until we do, it's God's fault. I asked him to take it away. I guess we could go on. We get others who are gunners. I'm going to do it. 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 And they never do. And on it goes. Procrastination. Deceiving themselves. And many other things we could say. Then we've got, and we're talking to saints now. We're not talking about unsaved people. But unsaved people. Hear the gospel, and they hear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We have all turned every man to his own way. And then they say, but I'm a good person. And they're not responding to the Word of God. They are excusing themselves. They are deceiving themselves. Well, I'm a good person. I'm not that bad. And on it goes. If you're not saved this morning, you're going to have to get honest with yourself and say, God, you're right and I'm wrong. I'm not a good person by your standards. God, according to your word, I am a sinner. And I believe that the Lord Jesus, when he died on the cross, died in my place because and for my sins. And I need to repent. And I need to turn to you, and I need to have faith in Christ. And I need to believe that he rose again physically and bodily from the grave. I need to do that. I need to be a doer, not just a hearer. And call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But God's people, what about you and I? I want to close with this question. What is God speaking to you about this morning? Don't worry about the person in front of you, behind you. Don't worry about the person behind the pulpit. What is God speaking to you about this morning? And I believe that God wants to speak to every one of us about something. It may or may not be in the context of what we've even said this morning. I've had the odd occasion when I've been listening to some preaching, and God has spoken to me about an issue which had nothing to do with the preaching. But God chose to use that time to speak to me about something. God is speaking to us this morning through his word, through the Spirit of God. The question is, what is God speaking to you about? And then the last question before we pray, what are you going to do about it? What is God speaking to you about? If I came up to every one of you one by one after the service and said, what is God speaking to you about? What would be your response? More particularly, what are you going to do about it? Because I'm not going to come to everybody and ask you. I'm tempted to. But what's God speaking to you about? And what are you going to do about it? Amen? Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we've been able to come and share this time, Lord, knowing that it's one of the divine appointments you have for our lives to assemble together, knowing, Lord, that you are the living God, and Lord, you want to speak to your children, and you use the foolishness of preaching to do that. And Lord, I pray that that which you've spoken to each one of us about this morning, Lord, maybe it's just a word of encouragement. Lord, maybe it's a challenge. Maybe it's a rebuke. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, that we might respond and be doers of what you've said. Lord, if it's a word of encouragement, Lord, that we might do what you say and give thanks and give praise and bless you for a word of encouragement. Maybe it's a word of exhortation. We would thank you for that. And Lord, we would ask for grace to do what you want us to do. Lord, we can't say, Lord, please take it away. And Lord, there's a sense where we can pray that. But Lord, we know that that can sometimes just be an excuse for disobedience. Lord, help us. Give us wisdom. Give us grace. Lord, be merciful to us. And help us, Lord, as we go from this place, whatever it is, Lord, you've spoken to us about this morning, Lord, that we would be doers of that. That we'd be doers. Just while our eyes are closed and heads bowed this morning, I want to ask you another question. I said I'd finish with questions, but I want to ask another one now. Are you saved? Do you agree with God, or have you deceived yourself into thinking that you're good enough to get to heaven? That God's a loving God, he'll just somehow forgive me, but you've never repented of your sin, of your ways, of your thoughts and of everything else, and you've never really turned to God and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal saviour from sin. If you've never done that, then let me encourage you to be honest with yourself. Stop deceiving yourself that somehow you think you might get there in your own merits, but to realise it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that you're going to be right with God and one day spend eternity with him. So if you're not saved, let me encourage you this morning that you need to trust Christ as your Saviour. It may be helpful to think something like this. Lord God, I thank you that I am a sinner. I'm thankful that I'm a sinner in one sense, but thankful for you making that clear to me this morning, and also that the way to deal with my sin is through the Lord Jesus. I'm thankful he died in my place and then he rose again the third day, and I believe that in my heart, and I'm asking you, as you've said, call on the name of the Lord. I'm asking you to save me and make me one of God's children this morning. Maybe that's your need, then let me encourage you to do that. I'd like to pray for you if that's the case, that God would make these things real in your life by his Spirit and through the Word of God. Just when our eyes are closed and heads bowed, God's spoken to you about the matter of salvation, and this morning you're going to trust Christ as your Saviour. I'd like to pray for you to enable me to do that. If you just slip your hand up, I'm not going to ask you to come out, I'm not going to embarrass you, but you say, Pastor, please pray for me. This morning, I'm trusting the Lord Jesus, my own personal Saviour, believing that he died in my place and was buried and rose again the third day. Now, my prayer won't save you. It's only your faith and trust in Christ as you turn to God that brings salvation. But this morning, you say, Pastor, pray for me. Anybody at all? This morning, I'm trusting Christ to save me from my sin. Could you please pray for me? Now, God's people, if God's spoken to you about something this morning, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but let me encourage you. Be a doer of that which God has spoken to you about. Father, again, we thank you for this time. And Lord, may you add your blessing, Lord, as we sing the final hymn. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.